is 22 to 8 on a Wednesday morning. David Gallop to join us after 8 o'clock. And also, I've just been told Scotty McLaughlin, the supercar superstar, will be joining us as well. Winton this week in the Supercar Championship.
Yes, it's going to be a wet one.
A wintry Winton this weekend. So we'll see what the champ thinks about the Mustang and build up to that for the supercars this week. But Mark Stevens is with us from Channel 7, looking very rugged and woolly and wintry himself this morning. Good morning, Steve-o.
Yeah, great to be here. Yeah, a bit rugged up this morning.
Oh, yeah, under the weather.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. Early in the morning.
He has walked in with a coffee, though, for himself and no one else.
I need to lift in that area.
And on top it says S-T-S-K-C-L. I fear that he has got a far too complicated...
S-K-C-L. That is a strong skinny chai latte.
No, just strong skinny latte.
What's the C?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's a mistake. I'd be embarrassed.
It's cafe latte. Yeah. Of course it's a cafe latte. Because a latte is just a cup of milk.
What's the difference between a latte and a cafe latte?
Well, it's coffee milk or just milk, correct?
Yeah. Oh, well.
I was told this quite vehemently by an Italian man down Lygon Street one day when I asked for a latte, and he said, "What, you just want a cup of milk?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you'd like a cafe latte, then, would you?" And I said, "Yes, please."
Oh, dude, so you've got a coffee shop, mate. If I'm a latte, it's cafe. Yeah. It's coffee. Mate,
it was quite.
Otherwise, it's a baby chino.
A bit over the top, but anyway.
If it was,
so it's actually not that complicated after all.
It's a baby chino.
But if this was a chai latte half, fair whack, I'd say.
Well, it's becoming.
You just
a
don't
thing.
Go down that road.
Well, my wife's become a chai latte drinker, and she quite loves it.
So
it is
my wife.
It's delightful.
And I've given it a go, and it's got a bit of.
I think it's more whitey sits.
It's got a bit of something.
My wife is a chai latte person.
Because whitey goes the hot chocolate. He doesn't obviously have coffee. That's a little bit radical for him. But I think a chai somewhere in the middle. I think whitey could try that. I'll bring one in next week.
I don't like it. Too cinnamony.
Ah, that's the key to it. Cinnamon's the key to life.
But you like cinnamon in buns at the bakery, whitey, don't you? You live
donuts,
off it.
Yes. Just not in a beverage.
Speaking of things that are unusual. I read your 4 points on the RSN website last night, and I thought you make some very good points, some debatable things as well, but the biggest issue I had was that there were three and not four.
They haven't cut another one off.
Now, there was,
who's the sub-editor?
This is.
I went back and checked a few times.
The name of the whole thing
is Jason
4 points.
Jason Taylor that I work with here.
4 points.
Yep.
And there are officially three, and this is not the first time.
She's chopped another one off.
What? I don't know what's going on,
this
but there
sabotage.
Are only three
so
points.
What were you for?
Let's play.
I spoke about Daisy, the C word that you can't use.
Just give me the four
that's
points.
Cheated.
That's one.
Yes.
That's one, yep.
Tim English.
That's two, yep.
Big Talks Management.
That's a surprise that the Bulldogs got
no,
in.
No,
anyway.
It's a worthwhile story.
Wouldn't have picked it.
Lay off the footy fans. The fans have never been better. I love going to the footy. There's
that's
a couple of years.
That's three.
And there was another one.
Which was, of course?
Carlton. Harry Mackay, spare me. You're in crisis and you put him out yesterday.
Well, how come... Well, they had Brad Lloyd out and Sam Doherty out on Monday. What do you want?
No, but all the media were down there. To front the cameras, you have to have a senior player. Poor old Harry Mackay.
Who is a senior player at Carlton?
Well, it had to be Cripps, who spoke in the end on 3AW and was excellent. Cade Simpson didn't play. Maybe Ed Curno, someone like that. Leadership group style. You'd have to agree, Harry Mackay. Doesn't quite.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is one of the problems with Carlton is that there aren't too many leaders available to have those sorts of conversations. You know, at the moment, they're having to put Sam up, who's not playing. Cade Simpson's not playing.
Murphy's got broken ribs.
So, and I think this is half the problem with Carlton at the moment, that they don't have a lot of senior players that are playing.
Liam Jones is concussed, you're right.
Yeah.
But, so I'll start on that one, actually, half.
Let's start on that one, while you're
there. But the press conference was an hour late because of they obviously had that meeting where, interesting one, wasn't it, where... Doherty and Cripps sort of said to the coaches, you get out of the room, we'll handle this. What's your take on that? I think it's
fantastic.
A good proactive move.
Fantastic. Not the first time it's been done. Won't be the last time. When the teams have found themselves in these situations, sometimes you just need to, as a playing group, sort your stuff out.
Well, the Blues did it this year before their win of the season. Remember Sam Doherty speaking about that they had a players-only meeting that was led by them and it was quite full-on.
How many times can they go to that?
Well, I think that was a review, that one. That was a player-led review, that one. And this is a bit of a, not a stoush, but a yep. put it all out on the table and just sort some stuff yep. out.
Where do you reckon Bolts went? Did he just have a coffee next door or went for a walk around the block?
He would
went
have
to
maybe
see Donna in the cafe?
Yeah, maybe he said g'day to Donna and got a skinny latte, a cafe latte, of course.
But it would be an unusual feeling for him to just to vacate, do you think?
No.
Or would he have been warned about it?
He would have been a preconceived... Possibly would have been... And would have come across his desk, but even if it didn't, I reckon as a coach, you're wrapped, your players are taking some responsibility.
Yep.
So, righto, I'm happy to walk out of here. So it wouldn't have just been Bolts, but all the coaching staff would have gone out and prepared for training, whatever they were doing. So no dramas. I would, as a coach, would be pumped, I must admit, if your players are taking that level of responsibility and understand the significance of what's going on.
So a big month ahead, obviously, now for Brendan Bolton. If you look at it, Whitey, I know that half's down at Carlton, so it's difficult for him. He's sort of sitting on a precipice now, you'd think, because the numbers are starting to stack
Brendan
up.
Brendan Bolton?
Yes.
I think the next month is really important for him and his tenure at the footy club because there are games that they should be competitive in, and I think it starts with St Kilda this week. They've got Essendon coming up and Brisbane.
They do.
So I think they need
and
to...
And the Bulldogs.
Because the reality is... with
it's not easy on paper, though. There's no easy
game.
Not when you're on the bottom of the ladder. It's never easy when you're on the bottom.
Yeah, we actually had this conversation in the car on the way up to Swan Hill and on the way back from Swan Hill. So it was sort of 8 hours of...
It's a lot of talking.
Strong conversation.
It's a lot of talking.
But the reality is, as Daniel says, Carlton have improved considerably this year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the reality is, the commercial reality almost is, that Brendan Bolton and Carlton need to start winning. They actually, it becomes wins and losses when you're in your fourth year. So they can be as competitive as much as they like, but if they aren't winning more games than they are at the moment by the end of the year, that's when the problem's going to happen. So nothing's going to happen, I don't think, this year, like during the season. Mm. But he's got to start winning.
Unbelievably so.
In his fourth year.
And yep. just the some of the language out of the clubs getting a little bit more anxious, I think. And impatient. Well, just Chris Judd on Footy Classified, I think probably not as forthcoming with the support. It was there, but it was still with a little bit of an asterisk on it. So,
It's something along the line. I didn't watch Classified. I think I read some of the comments the other day that something along the lines of if they lost 10 games by 100 points or more, then who knows? Now, that's not going to happen. So I think that's a stretch.
I think there's an element of frustration coming out of Carlton that they're being pushed and pushed and pushed on it and that they're not going to move. So they're getting frustrated by how many times do we have to say it?
Yeah.
Things aren't going to change. We feel we're on the right track. It's not changing. You can ask us whatever question you want. It ain't changing in the short term.
Yep. So it's all happening at Carlton. Of course, Daisy Thomas, the $7,500 fine. I thought that was pretty much spot on. It could have even been $10,000, I thought.
It was reduced.
Yeah, but it could have been 20 with
but
10
but could
suspended.
It?
Well, and I think
the
it's
CBA,
at the discretion, isn't it?
Doesn't the CBA have a limiting amount that players can be fined?
I think when it gets to the tribunal, I think things can change half. The
yeah,
fines
you may be
more,
right. I
think
know
the set
that.
Sort of the club penalties for incidents, perhaps. But
James Heard got $20,000 fine, what,
he
15
did?
Years
no, that
ago?
Is true. That is
so
true.
I think if Rampy went for five for what he said, what Thomas did, it really cuts at the heart of the umpires, without doubt.
What did your umpire whisperer say to you about this? Is he concerned about what?
Well, the umpire whisperer's quote really summed it up for me. He said, most umpires don't mind being sworn at, but they don't like the C word.
Correct.
And the C word's not the word that maybe Whitey might be thinking of. It's cheat. So you just can't use that word.
Instead of chocolate eclair.
That's right. Yeah. But I think that sums it up. You can say what you like, but you can't call an umpire a cheat.
No, you cannot.
But let's have a listen last night. I was interested in this. This is Jordan Lewis, an experienced player, a leader of a footy club, a premiership champion. This is what he had to say about using that word cheat.
The thing I think about is no one would premeditate that they're going to say that to an umpire. Now, I don't know why Daisy said that, but it would just be an off-the-cuff, spur-of-the-moment thing that he would regret, and we've heard that he regrets it. Now, we can't... It's like cricket. As soon as they brought in the stump mics, stuff gets set out in the field and there is probably no meaning to it whatsoever. So it is hard from a player's point of view to be so in the moment and so competitive and then a decision goes some way and then have to think about what you're about to say. I think it's unreasonable to be put in that position and I don't think this is fair. And it would things like this would have happened 1,000 times over just this season, let alone the whole entirety of the AFL. So I think he's been hard done by.
I disagree with Jordan there.
I think he's had a. I think Jordan's had a mare there last night. I think he's gone in underprepared, perhaps. He's mentioned the microphone. That was nothing to do with a mic. It wasn't picked up on a mic. It was a comment to an umpire who put a report in. Half, we've got a big issue if 1,000 times this year an umpire's been called a cheat.
No, I don't think that's happened. I disagree with... And well, now I'm not disputing that from him because I don't know, but I would be very surprised if that happened. But I disagree with the scenario painted about having to react spontaneously and having to be aware of your actions. That's the whole game. There's 120 minutes every game and you're responsible for your actions 120 minutes. If you snap after a decision and you punch someone in the head, you'll get 2 weeks. Because that's how the system works. If you call the umpire a cheat, you will get a fine. Now, they are split-second decisions that you make all game, every game. And you are responsible and accountable for those from the start to the finish. So I don't see why this would be any different.
I agree with what you're saying, 100%.
But how
much of it is to do with how the umpire reacts as opposed to what's said? So if the umpire had heard that and then said something back to Dale Thomas and it was just water off a duck's back.
But this is the thing.
Does that matter?
This is the thing that Steve-O's saying. This is the thing that you cannot say. Umpires, and if I was an umpire and you called me a cheat, I'm coming for you. And I'm telling everyone you called me a cheat because that's it goes to the very fabric of an umpire and the very fibre of their being because that's what they are. They officiate and they govern and are the ones who organise the game from start to finish. You cannot question the integrity of the umpires and call them a cheat. It is unacceptable. Call me whatever you like. As Mark's whisperer says, swear at me if you like. That's fine. I'll deal with that. But don't call me a cheat because that is absolutely attacking everything I'm about. And that's unacceptable.
You're sort of inferring, Whitey, that perhaps it happens and some umpires would let that go and say, look, just don't say that again and not report it. Perhaps that he picked the wrong umpire.
I think there'd be a bit of that. I think there'd be also a bit of, if the umpire knew in context that he was just frustrated and he didn't mean it and he had
a clip back.
I'm not saying there's an excuse at it, but all I'm saying is that I reckon this sort of thing would happen a lot more and some umpires would just let it go.
But you've played a lot of sport too, Sherelle, and even suburban cricket. You know you can't call an umpire
a cheat.
You just can't go there and you wouldn't go there. Sherelle, you wouldn't call an umpire a cheat in netball, surely?
Definitely not. Definitely not. But I think it also goes to, you know, some things previously perhaps we did let it go. You know, I'm not drawing parallels with racism and that sort of thing, but in days gone by, people did just go, oh, it's just what he's saying. I'm letting it run off my back. But I think we've moved past that now.
I think that's fair.
And language matters. How we, you know, the Dane Rampey used to talk like a little girl. It matters that it was targeted towards females and that was derogatory. It matters that this is calling an umpire a cheat, which goes to the heart of that. And I think to say it's not fair that he's been held to account on this is ridiculous, actually, for mine. And they need to be more aware of how they're behaving in that scenario.
Yeah, Jordan's just had a bad one there. I've also got another quick comment, Half. The umpire's getting involved in teaching and coaching.
Save it for after the break, because we're going to get to a break. And TD surmising off the SMS, it's cultural, it's ingrained, it's a blight on the game. We need everyone on board, starting with fans, media and those with influence over kids. Thank you, TD, for your SMS. More with Steve-O, the number one news hound in football from Channel 7 after this.
Welcome aboard The Breakfast Club.
Steve-O's with us. You can check out his 4 points, which are 3. We might try and get that fourth one up on the RSN website, rsn.net.au.
Yeah, let's just have a chat, Half, about how this all started. Obviously, the boundary umpire getting involved out on the ground, counting players inside the forward 50. GWS had 7 players, and coaching them, saying, hey, you better move your players around there. You're breaking the rules. I know the AFL's ticked off on that, and the umpires are advised to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. The umpires are there to adjudicate, not to coach.
Umpires have been informing players of things for years. The only thing you know now is that you can hear it through the microphones.
Yeah, but should they be normally informing on little things, like move back a little bit on the mark, et cetera, but not something as big and structural as that? Surely the players should know.
Well, this is all brand new, and I have no problem. I can't understand the conversation around umpires not being allowed to talk to the players. I just don't get it. Why wouldn't they try and make things as seamless as possible?
But if GWS is silly enough to have seven in there, that should be a free kick in the centre. That's what I'm saying. Don't let the umpires it up. No warning. We've had 9 weeks, Whitey. This is not under all tens right.
I'm sick of talking about umpires and stuff like that. What else is going on?
Oh, Whitey.
No, because I think everyone just dwells on that sort of stuff a bit too much. What else is going on?
Mid-season draft, Whitey. I think, obviously...
Monday?
Chris Scott's touched on this. It was for filling a hole on your list and needs basis thing, but all the clubs that I speak to are looking at young players and warehousing them for next year, getting them in for development.
What a surprise clubs are going to manipulate a situation.
Even at Carlton, for instance, you'd think they'd have some holes on the list. My mail is they're going to go young, pick the best young available player, perhaps give him a game or two this year, but mainly look to get him ready for the following year. So this is really working.
This is a good question for Half. Do you think... Because I think Mick Malthouse made a really good point in the Herald Sun today talking about protecting Patrick Cripps. Under the circumstances, and I think it's fair to say that Paddy Dow's getting a bit tired, maybe even Sam Walsh will start to get tired as young players playing really important midfield roles.
Yep.
Should Carlton be in the draft going after a senior player to help take the pressure off Cripps and help protect the younger players, or should they just try and get a young player in?
Well, my first inclination would be to draft a needs player, whatever that is, whatever they feel that is. If they feel that that's a small pressure forward, then go and draft one of them. If it's a running defender, go and get one of those. If it's a mature midfielder, go and get one of those. So my opinion would be go and get your needs basis fixed without necessarily looking at an 18-month project, which Steve-O seems to be talking about here.
Yeah, well, I think Carlton's view on a lot of the clubs is the gap is so wide, Half. There's nobody out there capable of coming in and playing in the midfield and helping Cripps.
Well, then, if that is the case,
That's rubbish.
There's no what you for number one, the fitness to run out an AFL game, the quality and the skills, there's just nothing out
there. That's fair. I think that's fair to a degree.
You can't ask somebody to come in and help Cripps out from a lower level straight away.
I think that's a fair conversation point.
I disagree with that.
The physical requirements of an AFL player as opposed to VFL/local
players. But I'm told they've milked the lower levels so much, Whitey. There's not much left.
My man...
Who's your man?
Michael Barlow.
He's got a broken jaw, mate.
Well, yeah, but they'll heal.
Hasn't trained for 6 weeks.
He had about 478 possessions in his last game last year against Geelong, playing for the Gold Coast, when they just wouldn't play him last year. To me, that's what the mid-season draft should be about, that he could come out of retirement, play 12 games, solve a problem for Carlton, and worry about the young kids at the end of the year.
Well, he can't, because once you've retired, you can't. Nominate in the next 12 months.
No, I think he's nominated, Barlow.
For the mid-season draft? Yeah. Didn't he retire or did he get delisted?
No, I think he's nominated.
He's got delisted, he's fine.
The umpire.
No.
Nice work,
Sherelle. We've got two Barlows.
Very nice work.
That'll be interesting.
Look, I agree, Whitey. I'd love it to be for the older players to get a chance, but they should have maybe written the rules a bit tighter where they're going back to the draft.
Yeah, that's not...
If it's becoming a draft for 18 months, then it's an ineffective mechanism. It's not... It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it gives us something to talk about. I think it'll be a good event. But a lot of talk about some small forwards around and whatever. But Carlton have already gone down that road. Gibbons, he's going to get dropped this week and really hasn't worked anyway. So they need to get some youth in there. They're not going to go a recycled type of player.
You got 30 seconds for me, Steve-O. What do you got to finish with?
Dogs contracts. Tim English is an interesting one. Of course. Norton wrapped up. He'd be worth a lot of money on the open market. WA clubs sniffing around. He comes out at the end of next year. The Dogs are trying to tie him up. Management are in Melbourne this week, but I think it's going to be a slow process with English. Just imagine him at West Coast, 10-year ruckman.
Yep, maybe. Yep. Although Aaron Sandilands is not going to play forever.
Or Freo, that's right. Mm. So guys like that have a lot of currency, Whitey. I know that you've seen Tim English.
Yeah, but I think he's a fabulous young player, but he's still young, so he's not in any danger at the moment from a free agency point of view. So I don't think that's as much of an issue as some of the other
players. There is a go-home factor, so they're working hard on that to try and... And the Dogs, of course, will have a lot of money after the Tom Boyd scenario.
Mm, true.
Going to be a big player in the off-season.
I'm looking forward to reading your fourth point,
which doesn't
exist at the moment on the website.
Jason Taylor, I talked to him. He's so enthusiastic. He gets everything working quickly. Maybe he just needs to slow down a fraction and just double-check the numbers.
Righto, I'll have a chat to Jace about that. He'll be listening at the back there. You're a chance to get headbutted shortly as he starts to steam through that door very shortly. Thank you, Steve. Nice to chat. Look forward to